Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a shit. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows a name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it. It's time for the truth. Here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast. Hank Haney and Minnesota Tim Perotchka. Minnesota Tim, I feel like we got something to talk about this week. We got the CJ Cup. They're playing at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. This is back-to-back Las Vegas weeks. And we got a field. We got play, although the field got a little lighter with Dustin Johnson testing positive for COVID, but we do have a field this week.
Yeah, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy. That's already better than all of the fields in the wraparound season, except for the U.S. Open combined. So there should be something to watch this week. I'm a little disappointed to see that that Hunter Mahan isn't in the field this week, but. Should be a good field regardless.
Oh, man. Steve's favorite player, Steve Johnson's favorite player, Hunter Mahan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the guys that were getting in all these tournaments are not getting in this one. This is a shorter field. I don't know how many players are in it, but this is more of a invitational kind of thing as opposed to the give everybody a chance, let everybody in kind of thing. So we've got a better field. They're on a golf course that is going to be fun to watch. Do you think they'll do better with their ratings? Did you see the ratings from last week?
I did see the ratings for last week. On Sunday, the ratings for the Shriners got a 0.33.
What is that? That's not good.
That is awful.
Yeah. 0.21 on Friday, but 0.23 on Saturday, 0.33 on Sunday. The LPGA Tour. LPGA's PGA Championship beat them 0.44. Nobody watching that either. Okay, so let's be realistic here, though. The PGA Tour was on the Golf Channel, which a lot of people don't even get the Golf Channel. And the Golf Channel is not doing good, by the way. I mean, they are. They got issues. I mean, they closed down. Did you see they closed down the Orlando studios and everything?
Yeah, and they're getting rid of the Golf Channel website, and they're moving it over to NBC Sports website. So yeah. They're becoming like 2-in-1.
Yeah, that's not good. They've tried a bunch of different things. It's my understanding they make their money off that Golf Now or whatever their tee time thing is. You make a tee time on the Golf Channel. That's where they make their money. They haven't done good with the rest of the stuff. They're moving their offices to. Connecticut, they're consolidating and some NBC stuff, and they're just, you know, obviously the whole thing's changing. And they got the big they're part of the big lawsuit. The reason they closed down the studio there in Orlando, and I've been there many times, by the way. You know, I used to go there a lot when I was filming my Haney project and so on and so forth. But they got the lawsuits going. And there's a bunch of Golf Channel employees that have joined the lawsuit because of this whole contamination thing. Yeah, they got the big lawsuit that Golf Channel employees have joined. I don't know how many of them are in it, but I heard there's going to be more, too. That's what the rumor is. It's Lockheed Martin. Is that the company?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what they're doing is they're dumping. They're like doing the big toxic dump, and they dump it in the canals around there, and the ground, and they've contaminated everything. The water is like horrible. Like if they tested the water, it's supposed to have like 5 parts per million or something. It's got like 33,000 parts per million. I mean, it's really bad. And people have gotten like cancers and tumors and oh my gosh. And I mean, this is a big deal. So it's not the Golf Channel that's doing it. It's Lockheed Martin, but it's in the same like business park area. And this Lockheed Martin has contaminated, you know, the groundwater and everything. This is what they say. This is what the whole lawsuit is. And it's affected like the drinking water and everything. And because people used to say, and I've heard this from people that worked at the Golf Channel, they say, you know, don't drink the water, don't drink the water. I mean, there was always something wrong with the water there. And they're on this lawsuit thing. So they closed down, you know, they were supposed to close down the end of the year anyways at the Golf Channel, but they closed it down early. And I don't think it'll ever open up again. Not with what they got going on there. No chance. So they're not looking good. But the other thing is, I mean, let's be realistic here. When you're playing a wraparound tournament, and Vegas was better because you had a little bit of a field. You're playing a wraparound tournament, and you're going up against the NFL, and you're going up against college football. Because college football, I mean, not everybody's playing, but there are a lot of games on, and you know the games have been, you know, decent. There's some noteworthy games. I mean, Big Ten's not playing, Pac-12's not playing, but pretty much everybody else is going. And they're playing. You're not going to get anybody to watch golf. I mean, that's just it. But what's going to be interesting. The Golf Channel. I mean, I don't think that there's not going to end up being a no golf on TV. That's not going to happen. My guess is the PGA Tour takes the whole thing over somehow, some way, and they end up. Doing like the NFL, because the NFL has its own station, the NBA has their station, they got the whole deal going, and Major League Baseball has their own station. They end up doing something like that, so they get all their tournaments on. I mean, that's most likely what's going to happen. Plus, everybody's, you know, I mean, you watch these ratings, and I'm not making excuses for a .33. But people are you know, watching TV a lot differently. Like you don't have cable, right?
No, I don't.
Well, you watch it online, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you watch it on your computer, or what are you watching on?
Yeah, I watch it on a computer.
Yeah, you know, I got all the TVs now. You know, they got the smart TVs. My house in Flagstaff, for the first time ever, I didn't sign up for like DirecTV. Like I've had DirecTV forever, and I just went in there and I'm doing it online. Smart TV, just go online. You sign up for like YouTube TV and Hulu, and I don't know. My wife did all this, Suzanne, but
Hulu,
yeah, Hulu, whatever. Anyway, it's a lot. You know, you save a lot of money. A lot of people are doing that, cutting the cord. That's what they call it. Yeah. Saving the money. But I the Golf Channel's on YouTube TV, no problem. I get it on there. It's all, you can record everything. And I'm like, geez, why have I been paying all this money for DirecTV? I mean, you get the movies, the HBO and the whole thing. We never watch that anyways. We always watch, Netflix or Amazon or... So the whole thing's changing. And it's changing fast. That's why this TV deal that the tour has with ESPN on the streaming... And ESPN Plus, I was reading the whole deal about the ESPN. You know, they've lost millions of subscribers, millions, and that's going to continue. But you know, they're picking it up on the streaming side. That's where they're going. So the whole TV thing is changing. It's in flux right now, and I think what's going to happen with the golf is you're going to see people watching it different ways. Like you're watching on the computer. I watch it on the computer. I mean, a lot of that's gonna go on, and there'll be more people watching this week. I want to talk about the betting this week. That's a big thing. They're doing a test run. So let's get into it, because this is the tour is head first in this. The tour, I gave the tour credit. I mean, the tour did as good a job as anybody with you know, whole managing the COVID and the, you know, bubble or whatever. And, you know, they had players test positive. You know, I think Dustin Johnson was like the 11th player or something tested positive. But, you know, they've played on and they you know, have kept the tournaments going. They've done a good job with that. The tour is also at the forefront of this whole gambling thing. And they are making this bet that the whole gambling deal is going to be a big thing for golf. So we'll get into that next on the Hank Haney podcast. Remind everybody to go to HaneyUniversity.com and you can subscribe, get my free instructional emails. We're getting a lot of good feedback on that, Tim. I got an email the other day from somebody said it's helped this game. Guy sent me this real long email and, you know, he shot 79. He's telling me every, you know, I mean, I felt like I needed to take a cart and we were going to go all 18. He went, he birdied number 6. He birdied number 9. He birdied number 12. He birdied number 14. I mean, he was like fired up about how much better he's playing because of watching the instructional email. So sign up at HaneyUniversity.com. You can check everything out right there. We'll be right back on the Hank Haney podcast. So the betting, this is like a test week at the CJ Cup, perfect place to do it in Las Vegas, Shadow Creek, and the tour's got a big partnership with BetMGM, right?
Yeah, it seems like the PGA Tour is really taking the lead in a lot of betting while games are going on, because NFL, we haven't seen that. NBA, we haven't seen that yet. Now, the PGA Tour is rolling in with this BetMGM, and it says right here, the PGA Tour announced that MGM will provide betting odds for all four rounds of the CJ Cup at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. This will mark the first time that a PGA Tour telecast will feature live odds. So it says this is what it's going to be like. The BetMGM telecast executions will occur twice per hour, featuring leaderboards with integrated open and current odds to win, along with odds for head-to-head matchups, top finishes, winning margin, wire-to-wire winner, holes in one, and playoffs.
Did you know that the number two bet on sport at the books is golf?
I heard that.
Yeah, more than NBA basketball, more than Major League Baseball. It shocked me. I mean, it's NFL by a country mile. But number two is golf. So people are into it. I mean, and they're looking to take advantage of it. They really are.
Are you going to bet?
I think I'm going to bet, yeah. Well, I don't know. How does it work? You download the app, and then what? You have to live in one of those states? I don't live in one of those states. What did it say? The states right now that you can do it in are... what, 7 states? Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Mississippi, New Jersey, Nevada, and West Virginia. But then there's supposed to be 11 more states by the end of 2020. Why doesn't everybody do this? What are these states waiting for? I mean, I understand the, you know, whatever moral thing they have about betting and, you know, people run into problems with problem betting and they're, you know, compulsive and the whole thing, and they bet and they lose their house and whatever. I mean, but it seems to me like the positives outweigh the negatives. I mean, because they take that money, that tax money they make, and they do stuff with it to, you know, help schools, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we need money for in the United States. I just don't understand why things move so slow in politics. Why betting isn't legal? Everywhere. I mean, they voted, the Supreme Court ruled that, you know, it's okay, but now it's up to the states to decide. I mean, what are they waiting for? I mean, every one of these states is broke. Everybody's broke, especially with COVID. They're all broke. They don't have any money. Well, why don't they just have, you know, sports betting, make a little money? I mean, if you're broke, I don't understand the logic. If you're broke, you don't have any money. What's the logic in not, you know, coming up with ways to raise your revenue? Well, this is easy. Just allow sports betting. It makes no sense. But it's moving. But it's moving, you know, I think slower than it should. But at least it's moving. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. They kind of did a little bit of that at the match, you know, the Tiger Phil thing, but it wasn't very good, honestly. We'll see if this is any better. I mean, I think the fun part's going to be when, you know, odds that this guy's going to make this putt, and then you can bet on it, like right there live, you know, like on your, right on your phone. So you're watching your phone, matches going on, you know, they're playing, you know, he's 10 to 1 to make this putt, and you know, you put a little, you know, a couple dollars on it, and boom, you know, Drano, and you know, you just pick up $100.
Could you see any foreseeable fan issues going on with this betting, Hank, where fans are yelling in the backswing?
That's what everybody's saying. I mean, I suppose it could happen. What do you think?
Nah, I'm not really worried about it.
You don't think so? You don't? Jeff Shackelford's worried about it. Thinks people are going to yell on a guy's back. Guy's got a, you know, $1,000 bet against this guy. He's going to yell in the middle of his backswing, make him miss a shot.
I'm not worried about it.
You don't think it's going to happen? You don't think they'll ever happen?
It might happen every once in a while.
Not a big deal, though.
Not a big deal.
Maybe they should get rid of the silence when you're hitting a golf set. You should be able to razz them, do whatever you say, whatever you want, just like at a football game.
I would completely be in support of that for sure.
You would be.
I would love that. Bubba Watson always did that at Ryder Cups and President's Cups. I mean, nah, what's the Ryder Cup and President's Cup all about?
Very untraditional, though.
Well, so is betting.
And you get the caddies fighting with the audience, the gallery.
Betting is untraditional.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I did say that. I wouldn't be necessarily. You know, I'm not a traditionalist. I mean, to a certain extent, I guess. But I like to see people try things that are outside the box. So I applaud the tour for what they're doing on this. I think it's gonna be pretty good. All right, well, we're gonna talk about some matchups. Who's playing this week and who's favored? We'll do that when we come back on the Hank Haney podcast. Remember to get your free 2-week supply of Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. Got another message from somebody last night that I had given them a sample of my Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. And he sent me a text and he was raving about how much it had helped his sore knees. He'd been using another product. I said my product's the best product on the market. It's been clinically proven, clinically tested. It's a patented product. Try it. I gave him a free sample. You can get a free sample at voodoopainrelief.com. Free two-week supply. All you have to do is just go on the website right there on the front page, voodoopainrelief.com. Go there and check it out if you haven't already. We'll be right back on the Hank Haney podcast. All right, Tim. What matchup wise, what are you thinking this week?
So matchup number one, I call this the Fruit of the Loom. That's my favorite brand of underwear, the Fruit of the Loom.
Come on, seriously, you don't wear Fruit of the Loom.
I wear Fruit of the Loom. You don't wear Fruit of the Loom?
No. Pair of thieves.
I have Fruit of the Loom on right now. I look down, I got a black pair of Fruit of the
Loom.
Where
do you purchase a Fruit of the Loom?
I've got a huge hole in the side, though.
I need to
update my underwear.
Embarrassing. You still wearing that black belt with the big mark in the middle?
I'm half out right now.
Do you
now.
Have that black belt on with the mark in the middle too?
No, I got pants on. I got a nice pair of Nike pants on right now. My underwear, my nuts are half out.
Oh jeez. can leave out the details. All right, with Fruit of the Loom. Maybe get you a new set of Fruit of the Loom. Where do you buy Fruit of the Loom, by the way? I don't think I've ever seen. I know of Fruit of the Loom, but I don't think I've been in a store that sells Fruit of the Loom. Where does he get that?
Where does a fella buy
Fruit of the Loom?
I don't remember the last time I've bought underwear.
Oh, my God.
I feel like I get underwear for Christmas.
What's your clothes budget for the year, by the way? You're wearing a belt you got in high school, and you're how old are you?
29.
29. Oh my God. You're 29 years old and the belt you were in high school?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. At least the fact that you haven't expanded up like you're hooked up to a air hose. I mean, a lot of people most people couldn't say they're wearing the same size they wore when they were in high school.
Yeah. This year I bought a shirt, shorts, and shoes before my second date with my girlfriend.
Okay.
Wow. And that's it.
That's it. Yeah, that's all the clothes all you bought all year.
That's all the clothes I've bought all year.
Wow, you're frugal. I like that. That's good. That's good. You're a saver, aren't
you? You're ripping me. Yeah, you're
no,
all over the
well,
place.
It's good. I'll give you credit. I mean, I'm a spender. I like, you know, I could appreciate a saver. I like it.
Can I ask you a deep question?
Yeah.
Have you ever gone commando?
Well, what kind of question is that?
I asked you if I could ask it.
Yeah, of course. I've gone commando. What do you mean?
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't it uncomfortable? I've never done it.
No, God, it's not uncomfortable.
I was talking with my girlfriend about this last night.
Oh,
isn't commando uncomfortable? I need some.
No, it's great. It's great. You just gotta be a little careful. That's all.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Yeah. Be careful.
Yeah, you gotta be a little careful. but no. Okay. So, let's go back to what we were talking about here.
Okay. So yeah. The Fruit of the Loom, John Rahm versus Justin Thomas. So John Rahm.
Why did you call it Fruit of the Loom, though? That's what that's how I got off on this subject.
The Fruit? Well, I feel like the Fruit is like the best players.
Oh, okay. Mm.
The cream, the fruit, the veggie, right. The steak.
Okay.
John Rahm versus Justin Thomas. So John Rahm is the second ranked player in the world. His last five finishes, PGA 13th, Boston 6th. BMW win, Tour Championship 4th, and U.S. Open 23rd. Justin Thomas, he's the third-ranked player in the world. These are the favorites in the event, by the way. His last five finishes, PGA Championship 37th, Boston 49th, BMW 25th, Tour Championship 2nd, U.S. Open 8th. So the Fruit of the Loom commando category, John Rahm versus Justin Thomas.
Well, I mean, Justin Thomas is a better ball striker. Number one, strokes gained tee to green. Number one, strokes gained approach shot to the green. He's a better ball striker. Not by a mile, but he's a better ball striker. Rahm, third tee to green, and 22nd in putting. So Rahm is a better putter. Justin Thomas, 112th in putting. But Justin Thomas, a better ball striker. Number one, approach shots to the green versus John Rahm, 54th. Neither guy has any history at this golf course. I don't know how much either of them have played it. Yeah, Shadow Creek, it's not a course that, you know, if you go to Vegas and you're a pro, you probably played at Shadow Creek. But I don't know how many times these guys have played there. So you can't really go off tournament history. If you're going off tournament history, Justin Thomas has done great at the CJ Cup, but then now they're playing a different golf course, so it means nothing. So you're really looking at the, you know, two players that are what are the two and three in the world, and they're great. They're both great, but one of them's a clearly better putter. So unless you're just playing the hunch, I'm a big Justin Thomas fan, so I could just pick Justin Thomas because I like Justin Thomas. But Justin Thomas doesn't putt that well very often. And the reason he's not number one in the world is because Justin Thomas last year was 112th rated putter. And the reason that John Rahm is just a neck in front of Justin Thomas is because he's a little bit better putter. Now, if Justin Thomas gets his putting down where he's 40th in the world in putting, he'll be the number one player in the world. That's just the way it works when you're the number one ball striker. But as of right now, I would have to go against my instincts, or not my instincts, but my hometown favorite, which is I'm a homer on Justin Thomas, and I have to go with the putter, John Rahm. So that's okay. That would be my pick right there.
All right, category number two. This is the under 6 feet but over 300 club. So Rory McIlroy and Xander Schauffele, they are both 5'10" tall, and both guys drive it over 300 yards on the PGA Tour. Rory McIlroy, 314 yards, and Xander Schauffele, 305 yards. So Rory McIlroy, he's the fourth-ranked player in the world. His last five finishes, 33rd in the PGA, 65th at Boston, BMW 12th, 8th in the Tour Championship, and 8th in the U.S. Open. Xander Schauffele's 8th in the world. His last five finishes, 10th in the PGA, 25th at Boston, 25th in the BMW, 2nd at the Tour Championship, and fifth in the U.S. Open. This is the under 6 feet but over 300 club, Rory McIlroy versus Xander Schauffele in category number two.
All right. Well, it's the same. We're at the same thing we were just at. It's the same exact deal. Off the tee, Schauffele eighth, Rory sixth. You know, no history at the golf course because they haven't played there before, so we can't go with that. Horses for courses, can't go with that. Approach shot to the green, Schauffele 37th. This is last year's statistics, Rory 19th. Okay, not much different there. Around the green, Schauffele 37th, Rory 63rd. Okay, so we washed those last two categories out. Strokes gained tee to green, Schauffele 7th. Rory 6. So on the last year, statistically, these are the same players. They're the same player, except for one category, and that's putting. Schauffele 33rd, Rory 122nd. So you have to go with Schauffele. I got to take the putter. Rory has not had a great year. He's not been the dominant guy. You know, everybody talks about he's the best. You know, they give you a... On TV, they give you outdated statistics all the time. They're talking in the present, but they're really referring to the past. They don't give you up to date stuff. They never do. They just, you know, this guy's a great putter, you know, and you look, and then he's, you know, 66th in putting this year, but maybe he was second last year. They don't, you know, Rory's the best driver on tour. You know, Rory's not the best driver on tour. I mean, last year, He was not the best. He was sixth best driver on tour. So that's not the best. The best driver on tour was Bryson DeChambeau. So stop saying that Rory's the best driver on tour because he's not the best driver on tour today. He just isn't. Now, he's clearly one of the best drivers on tour, but so is Schauffele. Schauffele was eighth. Rory was sixth. So this is the thing that's consistent, though, with Rory, is he has always been, with the exception of 2 years where he finished like 40th, and I think he finished 24th in putting one other year. So he's got 2 years in his career where he's been, you know, a better putter. Not never been top 10 ever, but a better putter. And this is not one of them. You know, he's last year was 127. He did not putt good. Now he could have hit it better. I get it, but still, I mean, when you're sixth strokes gained tee to green, I mean, that's pretty darn good. 122nd in putting. I got to go. I go putter. When they're playing at Shadow Creek, it's not a long golf course. Chop par fives. They're going to have to shoot some numbers. I don't know if it's going to be Summerlin low. Like last week where 7 under was the cut. I doubt that that's what it's going to be, but who knows? You never know. Maybe it is. They're not familiar with the course, so most likely that's not going to happen. But it's still going to be 5 under. It's going to be the cut, something like that. And you got to putt. I mean, you just do. And that's why I'll go Schauffele on that one too.
Okay, category number three. This category is called Major Highs. So this is Matthew Wolf versus Colin Morikawa. Matthew Wolf, he's 12th in the world golf rankings. In the PGA, he finished 4th, Boston 44th, BMW 16th, U.S. Open 2nd, and last week in Vegas, he also finished 2nd. Colin Morikawa is 6th in the world, and the reason this category is called Major Highs is because Wolf finished 4th in the PGA and 2nd in the U.S. Open, while Colin Morikawa, who won the PGA Championship, has missed 3 out of his last 5 cuts. Boston missed cut, BMW 20th, Tour Championship 6th, U.S. Open miscut, and Vegas miscut. And this is coming from a guy who missed like one cut in his first 25 events. He's missed 3 cuts in his last 5 events. So this is Major Highs, Matthew Wolf versus Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, and you know, Morikawa was the great ball striker, the great iron player. He hasn't been as good the last few tournaments, but I would still say that when you're a great iron player, you're not going to all of a sudden go from 2nd on tour or 3rd on tour to 62nd on tour in 1 year. It's generally not going to happen. I mean, unless you're Jordan Spieth, it's not going to happen. But the problem is with Morikawa's game is he's in the category. Now, he's a young player. He's got plenty of time. I'm sure he'll get better. but he has putted. He's in that on that list that I have, and that list includes Justin Rose, Adam Scott, Sergio Garcia, and Colin Morikawa. He has putted good enough to win one tournament. Now, it's a short sample for this year. Statistically, he's 210th in putting. So, we said so far in these tournaments, and this is why he's missed these cuts, is he's putted as poor as anybody on tour, which is not, you know, I mean, it's not good. It's not totally alarming because it's only just a short sample. But he was number one in putting when he won the PGA Championship at Harding Park. And, you know, what are the odds that somebody that finishes a year, I don't know what he finished last year, 144th in putting, I think it was, something like that, 210th so far this year in a short sample. It's just, a couple tournaments, but still, you had 210th in putting, last year 144th, but yet for the week of the PGA Championship, you finished first. What do you think the odds are of that? They're very steep. They're very steep. Yeah, and you know, and generally in golf, I mean, you got to factor everything into this betting. You got to factor in really, you know, how their game matches up to this course. So the horses for courses is a big deal. It really is. Then you got to factor in, okay, how they're currently playing. People weigh the, the tee game. They weigh the tee game higher or heavier. You know, it's a big thing off the tee. You got to be able to hit it off the tee. Well, Matthew Wolff is long, a lot longer than Morikawa. And then you got to factor in how they're currently rolling. And a guy that's, you know, currently rolling off two missed cuts is not as good as a guy that's rolling off two second place finishes. And so you absolutely, you got to, whatever the price is, because you're not going to get it. This is not going to be an even bet. But you got, I would lay the money and take Matthew Wolff for sure.
Okay. All right, final category, category number four. This category is called, I don't even know why I called it this, dropping ... a deuce. So Brooks Koepka and Patrick Cantlay. So Brooks Koepka, he's 11th in the world golf rankings. He's fallen outside of the top 10 for like the first time since 2017. He hasn't played since the Wyndham Championship. And Patrick Cantlay, he's 14th in the world golf rankings. Both of these guys started the year inside the top 10. And both are falling, even though Patrick Cantlay had a good finish last week. Cantlay's last five finishes, PGA 43rd, Boston Missed Cut, BMW 12th, U.S. Open 43rd, and 8th in Vegas. So this category is for the fallen Brooks Koepka and Patrick Cantlay.
No, we've seen nothing out of Koepka, nothing. Now he's come with an analysis or come clean on his injuries. He got the bad knee. Had the plasma enrichment treatment, which is, you know, it could do something, could not do it. Partially torn tendon. I don't know if that's worked or not, but, you know, that's something you try. I mean, frankly, I mean, it's something you try because it's very uninvasive compared to a surgery and relatively short period of time to come back from it. And you think, okay, well, let's give this a try. I mean, why not give it a try? See if it works. People have had success with it. Let's try it. They spin the blood, take the plasma out, inject it. And it's, you know, supposed to help you heal. But he's had these continual knee problems. Now he's got the hip problem. He says he has a torn labrum and he's done a cortisone shot with that. A cortisone shot takes the inflammation out. So all it's going to do, it's not going to fix that tear. If there's something's torn, it's torn. It's not going to fix that tear. It's going to take the inflammation out. You're going to probably feel better right away. How long it's going to last is questionable. He says if he has to have surgery on the hip, he's out for 9 months. So of course you're going to, hey, give me a cortisone shot. Give me a PRP in here, inject it in there. Let's see if this works before we do the layoff for 9 months. He says he's healthy. He says he's feeling a million times better now. Well, he may be feeling a million times better, but we've seen nothing out of his game at all. Nothing. And he, yeah, I'm not taking anything away from him. He's the greatest. I mean, in the last how many years, he's the greatest major championship player. I mean, that's just the way it is. Look at his record. And he's a gamer. There's no doubt about it. And he's tough. I get it. But statistically, he's not, you know, I mean, you look at it and it's not that great. And he's, you know, and I'll tell you where it's really not great is he's not great on the putting. Not great on the ball striking. He's not, if you analyze, and I took the names off the you know, sheet and just showed you, okay, here's two players. And you look at, you know, how they've played lately, you know, two, you know, the last tournament was Cantley was a tied for eighth. We don't, you know, Koepka, he's been playing or practicing for about 2 weeks, and, you know, after all his rehabbing and his shots and his cortisone shot and his PRP injection, you got to go Cantley. I mean, you just do. And, you know, I hope Koepka shows us something, and I hope he's going to get ready for the Masters. He's in search of confidence. He's already said he's going to play at the Houston Open, which is the week before the Masters. So he realizes that he needs to get playing and start shooting some good scores and, you know, feel good about his game. When somebody's going to play the week before the Masters, I mean, that tells you that they're hoping for a little confidence boost. That's what they're hoping for. He hasn't played well. Now he's had injuries. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't have excuses. I'm just saying if you're asking me about this bet, I got to take Cantley.
One more quick question. Okay. So Ricky Fowler's 41st in the world. Your gut instinct. I don't have any stats or information on these guys except for they both suck right now. Ricky Fowler or Jordan Spieth, they're both playing this week. Which one does your instinct tell you? What's your intuition tell you who will finish better?
Oh, boy. You know,
or a tie. They could tie. I
mean, they could tie. All right, here. Well, our friend Tommy Armour, Tommy Armour III, he played the other day, which this is interesting. He played the other day at the Summit, which is the Discovery Land property, phenomenal place in Las Vegas. And Tommy played with Dustin Johnson. Okay, this is before he tested positive, and Ricky Fowler. Mm-hmm. So Tommy gave me a little scouting report. You know, Tommy's a big guy. Now he's Champions Tour, so he's, you know, older, but still, I mean, all these guys hit it as far as they've ever hit it. And, you know, Tommy's not short for sure. He said that on some holes, Dustin Johnson was hitting like 70 yards by him. 70 yards. He said Ricky was hitting it 30 yards by him. He said Ricky can move it out there. And he said that, I asked him, I said, what's the deal with Ricky Fowler's game? I said, he's just awful. He said, well, he's changing his swing. And Tommy told him, he says, you know, sometimes you change your swing. He said, and it's, you know, it's you know, you got your swing. It's your unique swing. Like, I've made the same comment that Tommy did, because Tommy's really an astute observer on golf. And I said to him, I said, Ricky's swing looks better. I mean, I don't know what he's working on, but his swing technically looks better, but he can't play. You know, he's playing terrible. So he's made his swing visually look better, but somehow it's messed up the balance of it. And his analysis is he's driving the ball pretty good, but he just hasn't ironed it very good, and he's just not trusting it. You know, he's got to trust the changes with his new swing. I mean, I'm looking at him thinking, you know, you did pretty good with your old swing, and now you've changed. Your swing looks better, but you can't hit it as good. It's not necessarily a good thing. Now, Tommy did point this out. He said, within an hour of missing the cut at the Las Vegas Shriners Hospital, you know, the last week's tournament at the TPC Summerlin. Within an hour of missing the cut, Ricky Fowler was on the driving range at the Summit. Within 1 hour, he was on the driving range practicing. So it's not for lack of work. It's not that he's not working at his game. It's not, you know, it's not that he doesn't give a crap. It's not, you know, he's practicing hard. He's working hard. But it's just, it's not happening. I mean, he missed the cut last week. You know, this is after time off. You're coming out. You're fired. See, when pros take time off, they come back and, you know, they're rearing to go. I mean, I remember years of coaching Marco Mira. I mean, rarely did he ever take time off and not come out the next week with something better. First off, you got full grind. You're in full grind mode because you've got all kinds of energy because you didn't play last week, and you don't want to miss the cut. I mean, you want to at least be able to play, practice, even if you don't play well, relatively speaking, you make the cut, but at least you try to build some momentum for next week. That's the way it works with these guys on the PGA Tour. So you to come out after taking time off and to promptly miss the cut. He didn't just miss the cut. He missed the cut by 6 shots. Now, it was a very low cut, 7 under. I get that. But he shot 1 under par. Missed the cut by 6 shots. That is a big miss. That's a big miss cut. Good news is, practicing hard, working on his game. Spieth took time off. I mean, you know, this is a good matchup, these two guys, because neither one of them has shown us anything. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'll probably give the edge to, I don't know why I always think Jordan Spieth is going to play better. I don't know why I always think that. The guy is such a competitor. He will, after 2 weeks off, Jordan Spieth will come out there and I feel like he will come with something. Now, he'll grind it out. He'll do something to make the cut. He may hit, you know, 8 or 9 greens in regulation for the first 2 rounds and spend all his mental energy making the cut and then go for the moon on the weekend, which has happened multiple times. But I just feel like the guy is such a competitor that his want and his will is so high. I'll go Jordan Spieth. That's my pick, Jordan Spieth, right there. But I like that matchup there. Both of them need to do something. You know, they really do. And the problem is, here's the problem, Tim. When you've been at the top of the mountain, Ricky's never been at the top of the mountain, but he's won tournaments and he's near the top of the mountain money wise because the guy's like a social media star, and he's in more commercials than anybody. But Jordan Spieth, definitely top of the mountain. You know, former number one, almost won all 4 majors 1 year. When you've been to the top of the mountain and then you get knocked down, like you said, these guys are way down the ratings, way down. You just got to start climbing back up the mountain. You want to go from 58th in the world to, you know, top 10. You want to do that, but you can't do that. And it's not the way it works. You can't do that in 1 week. You just got to start gradually seeing some better results, better shots on the range, better shots in your practice round, better shots in the tournament. And you know, okay, I had a little decent finish or a good round here, and let's build on it the next week, and let's build on it the next week. And this is the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do is to climb back up the mountain once you've been at the top. It's not nearly as difficult to just keep gradually stepping up the mountain. You know, it just isn't. You just keep stepping up, you know, like Shoffley's like a guy who just keeps kind of stepping up the mountain. He's just, you know, gradually getting better, just getting more experience, getting better, stepping up the mountain. When you've been up and then you get knocked down and then you got to climb back up that whole darn mountain again, that's when it's tough. And both of these guys are trying to climb up the mountain. Now, will one of them make it back up the mountain? You know, possibly. Will both of them make it back up the mountain? Odds get a little slimmer. I mean, that's just the way it is. And here's the thing. This is the way the PGA Tour is. Guys fall off the top of the mountain. And guys never make it back up the mountain. It's just the way it is. If everybody was at the top of the mountain and they stayed there, and if everybody who fell off the mountain got right back up on top of the mountain, you know, then it wouldn't be much interesting to watch, to be honest with you. You wouldn't, you know, have to predict much. This is just, okay, these guys are there and they're going to stay there, but it's not the way it is. It just isn't the way it is. And there's been a turnover, you know, so far this year in the top 10. You mentioned Koepka, you know, Cantley. I mean, there's been a turnover. And, you know, some guys have stepped it up. And some guys have backed it off. You know, Tiger, you know, didn't play as much, so he fell out, and you know, Cantley out, and Koepka out. But there's guy, you know, Molinari, he's made a big fall. And there's guys that have fallen, and it's just part of the game. It's just part of the game. But it always makes you wonder, are they going to make it back? So this is a step. We'll see what they do. I'm sure they're both really wanting to do it.
I could fix Jordan Spieth in 2 seconds.
That sounds like one of these other pros. That's I hear pros say that. I used to hear that all the time. You know, like with you know, whoever it was, I could fix him in 2 seconds. I could fix this guy. Just needs to do this. Lee Trevino always used to say stuff like that. Gary Player always said something. Gary Player, Lee Trevino, Gary Player. I love those guys. But they're not golf instructors. Yeah, and you know, they see something somebody's doing, they think, oh, he just needs to do this. He'll be right back in the top, you know, top 10, top 5. It's not that easy. That's
I know exactly what you mean, Hank. I know exactly what you mean. It's not that easy.
You know exactly what it is?
I know exactly what you mean. I mean, Cousin Tyler, Jeff, everyone shot their best score with me. It's just a matter of time until the PGA Tour calls.
Well, if they played one round with you at Shadowbrook, they'd be back.
They shot their best score ever with me.
Okay. Well, is that because of your positivity or what is it?
I enforce confidence. I just reinstore. I don't think that's a word. I restore confidence.
You do. Maybe you should go talk to your Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I know. I'm waiting for the call.
All right. Well. We'll see. They need confidence. That's not everybody does. Part of the game, part of any sport, big part of any sport, confidence. But you know what Jack Nicklaus said?
You can go to the market and buy it.
Yeah. The way people talk about confidence, you'd think you could go to the store and just buy some. It takes years to build up, and after one or two bad shots, it's gone. It's not that easy, for sure. All right, Tim. Appreciate you joining me. Good stuff. Follow me on Twitter at Hank Haney. Follow Tim at Tim Parachka. Email your questions to HankHaneyGolfAndOutlook.com. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts, and we will be there every day. Go to my website, HaneyUniversity.com. Register for free to get my instructional emails. And you can also find my new book there, How to Play Better Golf Today, Lessons of a Lifetime. You can get a signed copy of that and some other great deals that we have there at HaneyUniversity.com. And go to VoodooPainRelief.com and get your free 2-week supply. I got all this free stuff for you right there. All you got to do is just go sign up. We'll be back tomorrow on the Hank Haney Podcast. Hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you later. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.